Happy Thirsty Thursday. What is going on, Nashville, Middle Tennessee, or wherever it is that you're hanging out with us today on 104.5 The Zone? So happy to have you guys involved. Happy to be here for another edition of the show. Got a lot to talk about ahead of a fun weekend of football. If you want to get involved, we would welcome your participation. 615-737-1045, 615-737-1045. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel will be here to talk about the Vols in just about 19 minutes from now. We will also be joined by the player who is going to start alongside Kevin Byard on Sunday in the absence of Amani Hooker, who has been placed on IR. Safety Bradley McDougald will join us before the Titans hit the practice field later this afternoon. That's at 11:15, so make sure you're not missing a second. We begin, though, with the Vols. This has been a conversation all week long, since Saturday, since that game against Pitt ended, and really since about, what, the second quarter? The doomed second quarter that seems to be a recurring theme for the University of Tennessee. So far, back-to-back weeks, second quarter presents issues. But some of them, many of them, issues that don't need to exist. Unforced errors. Missed touchdown passes, more than anything. Three of them, to be precise. That have created this conversation about the quarterback position for the University of Tennessee, for the Vols. So now, with Joe Milton, who did practice yesterday, according to reports, as you heard in Lucas's update, but still not entirely certain to be able to play against Tennessee Tech this weekend, where should the Vols be trending as far as the starting quarterback position is concerned? We know who the backup is. We know that it's Hendon Hooker, and we know that Harrison Bailey is at this point not a part of the equation. Whether you're satisfied with that or not, it seems to not much matter to Josh Heupel, who you'll hear from later on in the show. But with Joe Milton unavailable potentially because of the lower body injury that he sustained that caused him to come out of the game, to have Hendon Hooker inserted, and to see where, basically, if they could generate any kind of forward momentum instead of shooting themselves in the foot because of inaccuracy. It's not to say that the rest of the Vols squad right now is playing at a high level or playing perfectly. There are some flaws. You see what a difference in that offensive line not having Cooper Mays makes out there. We've talked about this wide receiver core and the drops and some uncertainty with the running back position. We've begun the search, I think, in earnest for D. Beckwith. Does anybody see him? Does he exist? Is he just a figment of our imagination? I know this is something that Lucas and Will Bowling were pondering on the Ultimate Tennessee podcast that you can hear in the 104.5 The Zone podcast feed. There are many questions right now about the University of Tennessee. The biggest thing that I don't think is in question is that their offensive coordinator and offensive plan through two games, they haven't been doing it justice. Because guys are running wide open all over the field and touchdown passes, touchdown throws are being missed. Not by, as we talked to Doug Matthews this morning before the show started, not by like glancing off a dude's fingertips or just out of reach. No, by 15 or 20 yards. So the question becomes for Vols fans, who would you rather see at quarterback? And frankly, who do you think this coaching staff is going to start? Because I think there's a difference between these two answers. And I'd be curious to know how the audience feels about it. 615-737-1045 or on Zone TV if you would like to interact. Facebook Live, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. We'll discuss it at length together. The more that I look at this, the more that I say, you know, it has to be, at least for me, it has to be Hendon Hooker, even if it is against Tennessee Tech. In fact, better if it starts against Tennessee Tech because they need to get him comfortable with the system. They need to get him up to speed because Florida is on the horizon and you can't afford to look past anybody right now. But all of your preparations up and until this point should be for Florida week. this is going to be the biggest test. They have already failed in this regard against a team, a program that is a similar level of competition to them right now. The Pittsburgh Panthers, they're not a great team. They seem to have an above-average quarterback. I think he's going to be an NFL draft pick. Certainly, he's been in college long enough to have developed the skill set to be one, one would think. Kenny Pickett was great. You saw that after the initial three and outs that the Pittsburgh offense did have at Neyland last Saturday. But for me, it has to be Hendon Hooker. It has to be. It's not because I have any ill will towards Joe Milton, even though many of you accused me of that earlier before the season started when I said, you know, what do I make of a player who has enough of a body of work for me to understand that my expectations should be low for him? What am I to make of a player that, yes, did struggle with injury last year, but in seasons prior to that has shown himself to be an erratic player, super raw? For Joe Milton, the problems that he has, perhaps they are correctable, but are you willing to ride it out in the interim and have it potentially cost you games as it did last Saturday against an opponent that you really could have used a win against? Not just because it's a win and wins are better than losses, but for foundational building blocks, for the purposes of forward momentum for a program that desperately needs it. The University of Tennessee had the opportunity to beat Pittsburgh last week, and Joe Milton cost them, in large part, that opportunity. Are you comfortable with the idea that the coaching staff may find his potential more attractive and more focused on the development of it, trying to rein it in, basically, to make those passes, those overthrows, not missed by 20 yards, but maybe five from week to week, maybe down to two the following week? See if you can't get him a little closer to the actual receiver instead of just hitting him in the back of the head from 60 yards out when he's not expecting it, like Jalen Hyatt last week. 615-737-1045. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel will discuss this more at length, and we'll talk about this wide receiving core because I think it's been interesting, as Lucas brought up in our pre-show meeting, to see who the hype was around preseason and who the targets are actually going to. Let's start with Zach, who's in Murfreesboro. He wants to talk about the Vols quarterback situation. What's up, Zach?
What's up? So I'm thinking Hendon Hooker is probably the safest option because he has good foot speed, he's going to make accurate throws, and he's going to hit the wide-open receivers. But do we think that Josh Heupel sees Joe Milton's physical ability and sees the craziness of the Vol football fan base and thinks Joe Milton could possibly beat either Florida, Georgia, or keep us in the game with Alabama, and goes for it all and tries to win one of those three games in his first year to satisfy the Tennessee football fan base?
You know, it's a fascinating question, right? Because how much, and nobody's complaining about Josh Heupel at this point, right? There are no torches and pitchforks for the coach, because the offense that was promised seems to have been delivered upon.
They were set up for success on Saturday as far as play calling.
That's what I'm saying. It's the execution that sucked. And the execution starts and ends with the quarterback. Now, while he did not put them in perilous situations because of egregious errors, the overthrows are egregious. Let me not make that sound better than it actually was. But the turnovers, he's not turning the ball over. He's not putting the defense in compromising field position situations because he's erratic with the football, so much to say that he's just giving it up. It's not like that. It's not like he has a fumble problem. He seems to have superior athletic ability. But Lucas, you were saying before the show started about him as a runner, him being Joe Milton versus Hendon Hooker, and that you liked Hendon Hooker in that regard as well, even if he may not have the explosive athleticism that we saw from Joe Milton against Pitt.
I don't know that he doesn't. Milton's a bigger body, but he runs like a quarterback. I think Hooker runs more like a Josh Dobbs sort of mold. Hooker runs more like a receiver when he's got the ball in his hands.
And that's an asset. That's the whole premise of why Harrison Bailey can't get on the field, because he can't. I was cracking up because I was told this morning that there were clips being put out by the Vols faithful or the, at least the Harrison Bailey Vols faithful, of him making plays with his feet, except not really making plays.
Look, just, he can run.
He can literally run, but how well can he run and how fast can he run? Can he not look like me or Lucas?
I too can run.
While he runs. That is the problem with Harrison Bailey in this particular offensive scheme. 615-737-1045. The allure of Joe Milton and the potential, it's wowed us all at certain points. I am still in awe every time he overthrows a receiver by 20 yards because it's ridiculous how much he can put on a football. It's an actual rocket launcher that he has for an arm. But at some point, the rocket has to connect with the target. And in a perfect world, not potentially concuss them because they're not expecting it to reach them that far down the field and not looking for the football, i.e. Jalen Hyatt. 615-737-1045, although I should add that we do not know that Jalen Hyatt was concussed. I'm just making a joke. Houston is in Nashville. He wants to talk about the Vols quarterback situation. What's up, Houston?
Hey, so are we really sure that Joe Milton can correct these issues he has? Because it seems like the same issues he had at Michigan when he was completing these 5-10-yard passes, but overthrew receivers by 10, 15 yards. And then Hooker looks like he's a better athlete than Milton. I mean, Milton can truck a linebacker, but, I mean, Hooker looks like he can just outrun a defense if he needs to.
No, I appreciate the call, Houston. Here's the thing with Joe Milton. I don't know. Accuracy is a difficult thing to teach, right? It's near impossible to teach. Quarterbacks very rarely, for example, from college to the NFL, there are only very few examples that you can cite of quarterbacks legitimately improving their accuracy from one level to the next. You can improve in the system. You can improve your efficiency. You can improve your ability to read defenses, things of that nature, things that progress over time. But the teaching of accuracy is not something that's easily accomplished. I mean, two examples that come to mind in the NFL right now, Matt Ryan, when he came from Boston College to the pros, was substantially more accurate as a quarterback. He had a turnover problem, significant interception problem at BC, and then came to the pros, was able to refine his skill set and improve his accuracy. And then something that we're still trying to determine whether it's real or imagined or just a COVID fever dream is Josh Allen. Josh Allen, who took as big a leap as any player in the sport last year and produced one of the best offenses in football against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. In week one, he did not look to be that same kind of quarterback. So it's TBD as far as Josh Allen is concerned. Now, we're still talking about the college level. You can find ways to work around the accuracy at the college level, but you cannot find ways to make up for 20 yards and 15 yards overthrowing your wide receiver when these guys are running wide open down the field. We'll continue this conversation with your thoughts on the Vols quarterbacking situation. We will also be joined by Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel, boots on the ground, to talk about the Vols ahead of Tennessee Tech. That's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. I love that we're on while First Take is on the TV. Nothing makes me happier than watching Stephen A. Smith. It's always on mute in here because I got stuff that I want to do and notes that I want to read and all these things during the breaks, but I love watching Stephen A. Smith while doing a radio show because some of the facial expressions, they kill me. By the way, a happy would have been 96th birthday today to the king, B.B. King.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Gone too soon. That's the only time I'll disagree with Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah,
We do care about B.B. King. 615-737-1045. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us shortly and continue this Vols conversation. But first, we go to your phone call. Scott, one of our favorites in Bethpage, has chimed in. He wants to talk about the Vols. What's up, Scott?
Hey, good morning, man. It's always fun to pretend like I'm as important as you guys. Lucas on D-back with – I went to the spring game, watched him. When I go to the spring game, I like to watch the guys warm up, go through the motions and stuff like that. He was the only running back in the whole room that looked like he was just lifeless during the drills. So my opinion on that is we're not going to see him, and it's probably based purely on work ethic. That's just my thoughts. Now, I may be completely wrong, but he looked lifeless in the drills. So that's where I'm at with him, and we didn't really see much out of him in the spring game, so it tells me he's not a very hard worker. We desperately, and I didn't realize it until the game, until we got to the game and watched the line, we desperately missed Cooper Mays at the center position.
Oh, yeah.
The reason why we missed him so much was because Carvin wasn't where he was supposed to be. And Carvin done a good job. He done a great job at the center spot, but you could really tell there was something off there. And as far as Milton, Buck, I have to 100% agree with you. You were 1,000% right on that. I was hoping to God you were wrong because, you know, we really want that big, strong athlete running back. It would have been nice to have had that opportunity to get to watch that. But the accuracy is just not going to be there. And so it's going to be Hendon Hooker, and he's going to have to learn to get down in the grass when he runs football. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Scott. I take no pleasure in being, at least I think so far, right about what Joe Milton is. There was too much body of work so far to not think that he wasn't going to have the same kind of problems that plagued him at Michigan, outside of course, the thumb injury, as we've documented at length. So let's see what's going on in East Tennessee. Let's go to Knoxville and talk to our buddy who it's every time he comes on, I'm going to say this. I don't know why. I don't know when I'm going to get it used to the fact that you are of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam Sparks, our guest now here on 104.5 The Zone. But eventually I'm going to come to peace with it. I don't know if you have yet or not.
It's growing on me slowly, but yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm getting used to all of it.
So let's start with the quarterback position. I know that you are an objective journalist and that opinion isn't necessarily something that you do the way that we like to do it. But for all I can watch and all I can see, Sparks, from afar, I don't understand how they can go back to Joe Milton after how badly he aired throughout the course of that Pitt game, even if he is healthy. Am I wrong in saying that?
Well, I mean, somewhere in here, Josh Heupel is either going to decide that he is finally the guy to fix the problem of Joe Milton's lack of touch on deep balls, or he's going to have to admit that this is an unfixable problem and he needs to move on. I will say there's another layer to this that I think that, this is probably a pretty good sports talk question or topic, is that should we rely on coaches that know more than fans to tell us what the right decision is, or should we say fans, as simplistic as they are, maybe even reporters as we are, sometimes is the simplest answer the easiest one?
Yeah.
Or do coaches overthink things? But I bring this up because if you look at Joe Milton's issues, they're the most visible mistake in Neyland Stadium Saturday. Everybody there can see, hey, that guy's wide open. All you have to do is throw it out there. I could do that, and you still missed it. That's the obvious thing. Everybody can see it's the most visible mistake. Hendon Hooker comes in, plays pretty well, but on that 4th-and-1 play, you sort of get hints after the game from Heupel, and then some of the players after in the next week, this week, that there were some mistakes in communication that messed up that play. They ran the same play, that 4th-and-1, they ran the same play earlier in the game with Milton in the game, and it worked. I think that may have been Jabari Small's touchdown in the first quarter. The takeaway there is Milton had the correct read and had the right communication with the offensive line, and Hooker didn't. You can say because Hooker wasn't used to playing, so there's a little bit of an adjustment there, but I just say that to say a coach that maybe is thinking next level on this is thinking, well, you guys saw the mistakes that Milton made. I know the mistakes from film that Hooker made. And so maybe it makes it a little harder decision. But yeah, I mean, the simple way to look at this is the offense moved better with Hooker. There's, you know, he can run the ball. He can throw it well enough. He's not making enormous mistakes.
Right.
And Milton was.
Well, no, it's a great question that you pose because, you know, it's like watching, for example, I'll just use the Tennessee Titans for an example, right? When the offensive line gives up 5 sacks and immediately you look at them and call them dogs, except You don't know what the protections were set for, whether they're a three-step drop, a five-step drop, or a seven-step drop, and whether the quarterback is holding it too long for the protection to hold up, like all these things that factor into the nuances of football that, you know, fans and media sitting in the press box, we don't necessarily know. I can't help but think that even as those mistakes were probably made on the field, that the flow of the game was not better once Hendon Hooker was inserted. Anyway, with the skill position players, Adam, I'm curious as to what your observations have been from the way that they've kind of started as an offense. I think Jalin Hyatt was one of the most hyped up players, by myself being one of these people who hyped him up preseason and thought that he may be one of their best playmakers on the field. So far, it's been a bit underwhelming with the drops. You look at Velus Jones Jr., who hasn't necessarily factored into the passing game in a big way quite yet, but was one of the darlings of this offseason. What have you made of the skill position players on this roster and their contribution so far?
Well, I mean, you know, we have to put the quarterback in on this too,
right?
That they've used two different quarterbacks, and, you know, Cedric Tillman was missed on what should have been two touchdowns in the opener, and he got a touchdown later, but that should have probably been a three touchdown game for him. And then he was missed on the wide open, you know, there was four or five deep balls that Milton missed last game, but the most egregious was one to Tillman. Cedric Tillman should have four touchdowns and about 350 yards receiving right now.
Yeah.
Instead, he's got three catches for 68 yards. So, you know, and that's sort of another layer to the quarterback conversation is I think this receiving core is pretty good. I don't think it's not one of these, you know, wide receiver U type things that UT has had in years past where, you know, you've got a first, second round picks in the wide receiving core, but I think Jalin Hyatt has a lot of potential. I think Velus Jones is solid. I think Cedric Tillman is pretty good. I think you can go on down the list, and I mean Jimmy Callaway is probably going to be the best of the bunch, or maybe. I think there's some depth to this receiving core, and the fact that you can't get quarterback figured out is doing a disservice to what should be the strength of this offense. You know, the jury's out on Tyon Evans because he had 120 yards in the opener against Bowling Green at running back and rushing yards, and Jabari Small had 116 rushing in that game. Evans was out last week. We'll see if he's back this week. Small got hurt halfway through last week. So there's sin at running back, and we're not going to know what that's going to be until they get deeper into SEC play. And that's sort of everything with the offense. I mean, they've scored 30-plus in both of these games. And they'll score a ton against Tennessee Tech. But everything that positive that we can say about the offense, that's fine. I want to see it in the swamp. I want to see it even more so against Missouri and Kentucky and South Carolina and comparable opponents before I can say what a strength is in that offense. But so far, so good with Heupel's offense.
Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. At Adam Sparks is where you can follow him for your Vols coverage. Yeah, I mean, to your point, going back to Cedric Tillman, they had one completion over 20 yards in that game, and certainly they had the opportunity for many, many more than that based on how many open vertical shots Heupel was able to scheme up.
Well, and I think that's sort of that's another thing where Heupel seems like a very patient guy. I think he's a pretty sincere guy. At some point, his patience as a play caller could run thin. Because, you know, and I wrote about this in Newsend on the Tennessean the other day about diagramming a few plays to where things were set up in the right tempo, the right timing, the right coverage. The miss to Cedric Tillman in that play was a sluggo route where you could see where the safety and the corner were confused to get him wide open. In all the tempo, Pitt had 12 men on the field and was running a guy off. Play action was perfectly set up. You could tell that Josh Heupel spent 5 or 10 plays setting up that play to be wide open, and then it was. And when you're a play caller and you look at your quarterback and say, I set this up to work, all you have to do is throw the ball correctly, and then an opportunity is missed. His patience has not run out against Bowling Green or Pitt. It will run out if Joe Milton is in the swamp. And it's a one-score game, and Joe Milton misses three wide-open receivers. that Josh Heupel designed a play for him to see,
right,
and he misses them. That's where you're going to see a quarterback change if they don't make it before then.
Adam, did D. Beckwith ever exist? Was he just a figment of our imagination the whole time?
Yeah, that's kind of one of those. The epitome of the UT fan base that I found out here is the guy that's not playing, and it's Harrison Bailey and D. Beckwith.
Best player on the team.
Yeah, I mean, D. Beckwith is, they thought he'd be the power back. They had a chance to use him as a power back. They haven't. That tells me that there's not a trust in him to be out there. And then Harrison Bailey, I could tell you, maybe it's reached out there, but in Knoxville, if you want to start a fight in any public setting, just say Harrison Bailey, good or bad, and you'll get some pretty strong opinions either way, because right now he's, you have a segment of the fan base that says, hey, the guy's terrible. That's why he's number three. These first two guys are not good, and he's number three. What does that say? And then you have the other side that says, I think he's Peyton Manning. He's probably Peyton. They're putting Peyton Manning at number three on the depth chart,
yeah,
and this Josh Heupel should be fired for doing that. You get extremes on both sides of that argument.
God, I love this fan base. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel here with us on 104.5 The Zone, talking Vols ahead of Tennessee Tech this weekend. The thing that looks, of all of the things that may be damning about them right now, Sparks, it's the fact that they've committed 5 turnovers to start this season. Their turnover margin so far through 2 games is -5 in the turnover differential. They are coughing up the ball in unfavorable situations, the fumbles being the worst of the problems so far. But more than anything, they're not causing them. What are you seeing from this defense and their lack thereof of turnovers that they're able to cause?
Yeah, and what's strange about that is that they're trying to be a pressure defense. I do like that about that. Their approach is, we're going to bring pressure, we're going to blitz, but it's not happening when they need it to happen. And you get a lot of turnovers on third down. You get guys that are trying for the sticks and, leave the ball out there, and that's where the ball gets poked out on fumbles. That's where you get risky throws by opposing quarterbacks. You pick them off. UT, the vast majority of their TFLs and their sacks have come on first and second down. So the pressure is getting there at a decent pace on early downs. It's not getting there on third down. I do like the approach. I think it's going to come. For one, they're better in zone than they are in man. Now, they believe in man and their scheme, and they try man, and we'll see if they stick with that in SEC play against better teams. But Alante Taylor is a very good corner, and he'll play in the NFL, but he's better in zone than he is press man. And so, there's a certain way that you have to run a scheme to get turnovers in zone as opposed to just picking balls off press man. I think this defensive coaching staff is sort of adjusting to that. I'm maybe a little concerned about the lack of takeaways, but I think that'll be fixed before the end of the year.
So with that being said, Sparks, understanding that we don't yet know who will start for them at quarterback against Tennessee Tech, it may not matter, but they can't afford to look over or sleep on anybody at this point. What's the one thing you need to see them build upon from last week against Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, it has to be quarterback, though. I mean, it really has to be. Everything that you look at towards SEC play hinges on what they do at the quarterback position. Josh Heupel's got to make a decision of what he's going to do, of how, if he cares about the fan base and the reaction, which maybe he doesn't, he's going to have to decide what he does here. And I do like how he's sort of hedging his bets, because he said Joe Milton is back at practice, but he's still nicked up and we're going to see. So he could play Hooker and say, well, we didn't replace, Milton didn't lose his job. It's just that he was too injured, so we went with Hooker. But if Hooker plays really, really well, then you can have Hooker be the starter. If he plays poorly, you can say, well, I never replaced Joe Milton. He was just injured. So there's a number of ways you can do it here. Maybe the worst way that could turn out for him is if he plays Harrison Bailey for the second half against Tech and he's, 17 of 20 for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, and people are going to say, well, you've got to start him in the swamp now because he just lit up Tennessee Tech. that would turn this even worse in Josh Heupel's way. But it's not just who you play at quarterback. It's how you use them and who you trot out there for what that says to the team going into the Swamp next week.
God, I love the idea that they might play, if just as a hypothetical exercise, the idea that they would play Harrison Bailey in the second half and that he would, in fact, look like Peyton Manning against an opponent like Tennessee Tech. Nothing would make me happier. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Subscribe to the Knoxville News Sentinel for great journalism like he and our buddy Mike Wilson are constantly producing. At Adam Sparks on the socials is where you can follow him. Thanks for the time, buddy.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Oh, lot to get into ahead of SEC play for Tennessee. And again, I'm saying it so often that they cannot afford to overlook Tennessee Tech, just for my own purposes, to remind myself that they cannot afford to overlook Tennessee Tech, because I am fascinated to see what kind of shape they are in ahead of going to Florida, ahead of playing in the Swamp. How close, because we know that they're not going to be competitive against Florida and Alabama and the kind of higher quality opponent, Georgia, that they will have to find ways to eventually reach, right? This is not the year that we will see these kind of upsets, given all the deficiencies that we're talking about, against much, much, much worse teams.
Yeah, you're not in the game against Alabama, regardless of quarterback play.
No, that's because we had a call basically saying, do you think that Josh Heupel thinks it's the difference between playing competitively against Florida and Alabama, Joe Milton or Hendon Hooker? And I had some comments immediately after that, both texted to me and phoned in even during the commercial break, with the outrage that somebody would even think that they're capable of competing with Alabama right now. It is a funny existence that Vols fans seem to have right now. But if you're going to make the quarterback switch, now is the time to do it, because if you want to get him comfortable, him being Hendon Hooker, with the level of competition that, or with the exercise basically of the operation of this offense, where you're talking about struggling to communicate with the offensive line and setting protections, things of that nature, now is the time against an opponent like Tennessee Tech that you would be comfortable not experimenting, but trying those things and working on those things in a live game setting. We will see. When we come back, we will talk about the wide receivers in this Tennessee offense in particular. Some thoughts from the head coach on the skill position players and what exactly is happening with the quarterbacks and their lack of chemistry with these guys on the field. We'll talk about it coming up next. Your phone calls as well if you want to weigh in. Who should start? Who should this coaching staff start on Saturday against Tennessee Tech ahead of Florida? 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Woo! Oh, I'm so happy that we have this too. Did you see this article? Reba McEntire had to be rescued from a collapsing building in Oklahoma. I got, you know, like I said, I read TMZ every morning because I'm trash. I was reading about Reba McEntire, and she was taking a tour of a historic building somewhere in Oklahoma. And apparently, like, they went up a staircase, and once they reached like the top of the landing of the staircase collapsed, and they're just stuck there in this crumbling building that they probably shouldn't have been touring anyway. But we put it on the poll: does Reba McEntire need to be protected at all costs? And if this is not our first 100% in favor of poll, we will have to fight. We will have to fight some members of the audience. We will have to seek out the 2% or the 3% or the 1% of you who do not think that Reba McEntire needs to be protected at all costs. Now, speaking of protecting the sanctity of your Saturdays, protecting your sanity with Vols football that does not make you scream every time you see a wide open wide receiver running down the field that is missed for a potential touchdown pass. So we have talked about this at length, and we'll get to your phone calls here in just a second. But I want you to hear from Josh Heupel on Vol calls. I believe it was last night or Tuesday night that this did air, with the head coach, Josh Heupel, talking about the quarterback position at this point.
Still, your quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, Hendon and Harrison have both been good in practice. Joe's been out there a little bit more today than yesterday. We'll find out where he's at medically as we get closer to kickoff. The other two guys have been great with the reps that they've been getting. I said this at the beginning of the season. First of all, the quarterback position in total, we got to take better care of the football. We can be better in the pass game decision making. There's some things that we really like that we've seen on tape too. But the strength of one position can never be one guy. Whoever gets the nod on Saturday, go out there, compete, and play at a great level. Other guys get an opportunity, go out and take advantage of it. Anticipate seeing high-level play this week.
When did, Chris, you were a quarterback when you were playing. When did you know when you were playing if you were going to start or not?
Every week's different based on what's going on. And I say that, you know, I mean, when I was named a starter and was healthy and could play, shoot, I did. When I was banged up and didn't practice on a Tuesday, you know, maybe not on a Wednesday and got healthy by game day, then I went in there and played. It's different in every situation. At the end of the day, you want to give guys an opportunity to prepare to be as ready as they can be, that when the opportunity comes, they're ready to go play at their best.
That is Josh Heupel on Vol Calls talking about the quarterback situation, or rather not talking about the quarterback situation, just saying words about the quarterback
situation. He's good at that.
Well, listen, he's a coach. This is you know, for all of people's complaints about Mike Vrabel and what he's like in a press conference, he's not that. Thank God. Even if there are oftentimes got to play better, got to coach better, at least he's not that. Because if he was saying nothing and also being dull about it, I would hate my life as a Titans reporter. But still, he's ducking is probably not the right word. Ducking sounds too strong. But he's clearly avoiding giving a definitive answer on the quarterback. Now, you may say that would be the case of any coach at any position, whereas we're talking about leading into week one for the Titans, they still didn't know or still weren't willing to say who their starting right tackle was. But ultimately, I think there is legitimate indecision right now about the position because the talent we all know to be there. But the mistakes are egregious enough that he needs to be off the field if this continues or cannot be corrected. And I just don't understand why anybody is looking at the body of work and looking at the two games so far of Joe Milton saying, yeah, this is something that we can fix. Even after several years, it has not been fixed. 615-737-1045 is the number. Ryan is in Nashville. He wants to talk about the Vols QB. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Great.
I think that Joe Milton needs to go to tight end, and him and Hooker need to start the quarterback. And when Evans and Smaller get back, they have an offense with that right there.
Your phone line's not great, Ryan, but I got the thesis. I got the thesis of your call. Yeah, you're not gonna move Joe Milton to tight end.
No.
Your tight ends are just starting to get going.
Yeah, that's actually been a bit of a bright spot. Princeton Fant and Jacob Boren had a good outing on Saturday.
Oh, I know. You were spitting with rage when we even brought up the idea that there would be an offense that used tight ends now. Seemed to be something that you've been lusting after for quite some time. I'm worried about you. We're two games in, and well, you are
too much to ask.
You are spiraling out of control already. After a win against Bowling Green, a loss against Pitt. What are you going to look like once SEC play starts?
Well, I will say it felt right to feel frustrated by Tennessee losing a game they should have won on Saturday.
It felt right.
It did. It felt. I was in my comfort zone. I said, okay, that's more like it. You know, because last year it was laying down, and the game's over in the second quarter. And yeah. Apathy is worse for a program than frustration.
It makes me I don't relish your suffering, but I'm going to enjoy it throughout the course of the season. That's the comedic relief that we need around here once things start to spiral for the Vols, as they might inevitably.
Winning will make me uncomfortable. I'm starting to think.
Well, I don't know,
what is this feeling?
You've never experienced this kind of success. If you were to achieve any kind of success this season, and so you will be completely disoriented. I'm sure.
I don't understand what's happening.
Speaking of disorientation. Mike Vrabel will speak to the media, and you will hear that press conference live coming up next. Also, don't forget that the player who we believe to be the starting safety for the Tennessee Titans for the next couple of games at least while Imani Hooker stays on IR, Bradley McDougald, will join us at 11:15, and we'll talk about the opportunity that he has on Sunday going against his former team. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.